Do you see what I see? Because I see a killer podcast. Hey there! Welcome, everyone, to another fantastic, if I do say so myself, episode of Amelia's Weekly Fish Fry, brought to you by EEJournal.com and hosted by me, Amelia Dalton. In this episode, seeing is believing. We're talking about vision processing with Poulin Desai from Cadence Design Systems. But first, how about a little news you may have missed? Optogenetics edition. First, exactly what is optogenetics? Well, I'm glad you asked. It's the use of light to control cells in living tissue, normally neurons, that have been genetically modified to express light-sensitive ion channels. Pretty cool, right? But what if this biological technology could help us develop an IC that could think like a human? Well, folks, we may be getting closer to this reality. With some help from some groundbreaking research from a team at RMIT, the Australian National University, Colorado State University, and Queensland University of Technology. Okay, let's back up a second. Optogenetics is not new. For the past several years, there have been some incredible research within this unique study of how pulsating light can affect the electrical activity of cells. In just the last 3 years, optogenetic research has revealed that this kind of biological manipulation can be shown to improve our biological clocks, adjust our pain thresholds, and even correct irregular heartbeats. But what if we brought optogenetics into the semiconductor world? Well, this is exactly what this multinational team has done. So, based on the principles of optogenetics, they have created an IC that uses light of different colors to write, process, and erase data. So, we all know that electrical impulses in the brain create neural connections, right? And when those tiny energy spikes reach a certain threshold of voltage, the neurons come together and memories are created. But how was this chip created to mimic that behavior? Well, on the IC, they used light to generate a photocurrent, and when they switched the colors of that photocurrent, the current reversed direction from positive to negative. So it's in this shift in the polarity that's particularly important. This is, in essence, the equivalent of breaking and binding our neural connections. Connect them, we learn. Inhibit their connection, we forget. So an important aspect of this study was the use of a new semiconductor material. This team actually used black phosphorus, which can be a hit or miss because it can be, in quotes, inherently defective in nature. But this team used those inherent defects to their benefit. Sumit Walia, lead research of this study, puts it this way. Our optogenetically inspired chip imitates the fundamental biology of nature's best computer, the human brain. Being able to store, delete, and process information is critical for computing, and the brain does this extremely efficiently. We were able to simulate the brain's neural approach simply by shining different colors onto our chip. Wow, super cool. Right? If you want further information about this study, I've included a couple links below the player, including a white paper called Optically Stimulated Artificial Synapse Based on Layered Black Phosphorus. All right, now let's bring in Poulin Desai from Cadence Design Systems. Poulin and I are investigating SLAM, the trends in vision processing, and we even fit in a little chat about basketball. All right, let's go. Hi, Poulin. Thank you so much for joining me.
Good afternoon, Amelia. How are you doing?
I'm great. Thank you for asking. Okay, so today we are talking about vision processing and a whole lot more. But Poulin, what do you think are the biggest trends and applications driving this need for more vision processing?
So, as you know, I am part of Cadence's Tensilica IP group, and we market our Vision DSP. And we are seeing a tremendous growth opportunity for this Vision DSP. And this growth is coming primarily from number of image sensors. So those are increasing in all the market we are in. So we are in AR/VR headset market, automotive, drones, mobile, surveillance camera market. And we see that if there is one image sensor, there's an opportunity for us to have a Vision DSP. Now, in AR/VR, you see today already 4 to 6 cameras. In automotive, close to 20 cameras. In mobile phones, right now, have most of the phone has front camera and rear camera, so 2 camera. But now, the rear camera is going to 2, even 3. So you are easily going to 4 cameras or even higher in the mobile platform. The other thing we see that all these applications or end market are looking for performance in real time, and also they are running at higher frame rate. So you need a much higher performance to do any kind of a vision processing. The other trend we see is the field of view in a camera that you have used on the mobile phone. There might be 70 degree field of view versus a lot of these applications are going to 120, 180 degree field of view. So those are some of the market trends, and that market trends drives some of the applications. So on AR/VR, eye tracking, gesture recognition, inside-out tracking. In automotive, you have basically 3 main systems that has multiple cameras. One is in-car monitoring or driver monitoring system, various cameras to do autonomous navigation, and a 360 view on mobile phone. You know, we've been taking the cam pictures and also already doing face detection and recognition. But now you want to do some night shot. You want to use your camera for the measurement. And then the new thing that we see is what is called AR map. And with all these new applications, the vision processing that you would need is like a noise reduction, dewarping, in image stitching, multiple camera you have on the phone might need multi-sensor computational photography. And all this also need high dynamic range processing. And the last one that we see a big need for is a SLAM, simultaneous localization and mapping.
Okay, Poulin, so for my audience who may not know, what is SLAM and what are the current challenges surrounding SLAM these days? And can you share with me a couple use cases?
So SLAM stands for Simultaneous Localization and Mapping. This is a computer vision techniques that's been used in past. It is used in robotics, drone, mobile, automotive markets to automatically construct or update a map of an unknown environment. And SLAM is also used in AR/VR market for inside-out tracking. And what that means is that with the camera, you figure out where you are in the virtual world. Now, this is primarily a computer vision application, and it relies heavily on variety of linear algebra and matrix operation, and it is computational heavy. So today, this thing is run on a CPU, on GPU. And CPU, the performance will be lower, the power will be higher. On the GPU, you can get a higher performance, but then the power will be highest. Those are some of the challenges. Some of the applications, I can give you one example. In mobile, people are coming out with an AR map, also navigation assistance. So what would be an AR map? We all may have taken a direction to walk from one block to another block in a large city. And we are in a new city. The direction will tell you to go north, east, south, east, something like that. And we, a blue line up there. And we really don't know if we are in the right location or a right spot until we start walking. So future maps will use some kind of a physical location. So a famous building it can recognize with the camera. And then based on that, it gives you the map that will be more appropriate for us to use. A similar thing can be used in a navigation assistant in a large mall when you're looking for a store. And the same thing can be used for a navigation at a large airport where you want to look for a gate. And you basically use this simultaneous localization and mapping technique to do that. And essentially the same concept is used on drone robot where you put them in an unknown environment and it will map the environment itself.
Now, it sounds like the Vision Q7 DSP includes a number of enhancements for vision and AI. Can you tell me a little bit more about this?
Yeah, so Vizen QSIP DSP is our sixth generation Vizen and AI DSP. We have been in the Vizen and AI DSP market for last 5-6 years. And with the introduction of Vizen Q7 DSP, we are offering 2x performance for Vizen and AI application, including the floating point performance. Vizen Q7 also offers 1.7x higher teraops in the same area. It delivers 1.82 teraops. And then when I say same area, it is comparing against the Vizen Q6 of a previous generation products. And it can offer up to 2x gigamax per mm square and gigaflops per mm square. So gigamax is usually used to measure the performance for AI operation, and gigaflop is something that's used to measure the performance for your floating point performance.
Okay, so when do you think a designer should deploy a DSP for vision and AI versus an AI accelerator? And are there any cases where you think a designer should use both?
Yeah, so it all depends on the target market that one is looking for. And each target market may require a different level of performance. So, you know, we try to separate out the target market based on the AI performance. So you could have a low-end market segment that requires 512 gigamax or half a teramax per second type of performance. Then the mid-range, you may have a platform that requires 1 teramax to 4 teramax, and then higher than that, and hundreds of teramax for automotive or data center. And we are specifically talking about inferencing performance here. So want to do inferencing on the edge or on the edge devices, and this is how we separate out the three different market segments. So at the low-end segments, you might have a low-end mobile, a smart home, or an IoT device. At the mid-range, it may be surveillance. It may still be an automotive device, but that may, instead of doing this autonomous driving, you are using the AI for the driver monitoring system, or the high-end or mid-end mobile platform, and AR/VR will need that mid-range performance. And automotive towards an autonomous driving or data centers for inferencing are looking for tens to hundreds of teramax per second. So at the low end, we can address that with our Vizen Q7 because it offers 512 gigamax per second performance. And then if any customer want to go to the mid or a higher end, they can utilize for the vision processing Vizen Q7 and for the AI processing a Tensilica DNA 100. It is a Tensilica standalone AI processor that can give you 1 teramax all the way to much higher teramax in tens of teramax performance. So by offering Vizen Q7 and offering DNA 100, we are essentially addressing requirement for the whole market.
All right, Poulin, it's time for your off-the-cuff question. Now, I'm not sure when this is going to air, but right now, our two favorite teams, my Portland Trail Blazers and your Golden State Warriors, are playing against each other in the NBA Western Conference Finals. So, Poulin, I'm going to turn this around a little bit. Tell me one thing that you think is great about the Portland Trail Blazers, and I'll tell you one thing that I think is great about the Golden State Warriors.
As you said, yes, our favorite teams are playing against each other, and this is happening quite often. 2 years ago, we had the same similar situation in Western Conference Final. Hey, a positive thing is we have a son of Oakland playing in Damian Lillard, you know, and we always look forward to seeing him play. And for some reason, every time he plays against Warriors, he always has a great game. So I hope we'll see some great game from Damian Lillard.
There is definitely something to be said for playing in front of your hometown crowd. For me, I like the Golden State Warriors because they seem like a real stand-up team. There's no sassy guys, no one's flopping for no apparent reason, there aren't big fights on the court for the most part. So that's why I like the Golden State Warriors, because they just seem like some good guys.
You brought up a good point that, yeah, in the previous series, there were a lot of flops. And I tell you, yeah, I don't see somebody taking flop on the Portland Trail Blazers side. So that is another positive thing that you brought up. So on the other side, you know.
Yes, I think you're right. Well, Poulin, thank you so much for joining me yet again and indulging me in some basketball talk. Hey, have you checked out EE Journal on social media yet? Well, you should. You can find us at facebook.com/EEJournal. If you're into Twitter, you can monitor our tweets at EEJournalTFM. And don't forget, if you want to follow my personal Twitter account, it is AmeliaD1978. And hey, if LinkedIn is more your thing, well, sure, you can follow us on LinkedIn as well. And we have a YouTube channel, keyword EE Journal. Folks, it is chock full of all kinds of techie videos, including our very popular Chalk Talk webcast series, hosted by yours truly. And you can subscribe to our EE Journal YouTube channel as well. Also, by clicking the links below the player on this week's Fish Fryin' page, you can grab our Fish Fryin' RSS feed or subscribe to Fish Fry via the iTunes Store. And remember, if you want any further information about the stories covered in today's show, just head on over to eejournal.com and look for this week's Fish Fryin' page. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. If you know of any cool new technology, any fun EE conference coming up that I absolutely should attend, or even the best geeky hotspot in your city, I love that stuff, shoot me a line at amelia@eejournal.com or post a comment on our forums on EE Journal. For the week of August 2nd, 2019, I'm Amelia Dalton, and you've been fried.